Welcome to Compare to Who, the podcast to help you stop comparing and start living. I'm your host, Heather Creekmore. I hate to admit this, but I used to secretly obsess over my appearance. I thought it was part of my job as a woman to always look better, but never felt like I could be good enough. Maybe you can relate. God, in His grace, showed me a way out, and I want to give you all the tools you need to break free too. If you've ever spent too much time stressing over your looks, I get it. I hope you'll keep listening and find the same freedom I have. Here are three other things you should know about me. I'm a minivan driving mom of four. I'm author of the book Compared to Who and The Burden of Better. I'm a blogger at comparedtowho.me, and you just may have seen my epic big fail on Netflix. If you've ever struggled with comparison or body image issues, Compared to Who is the show for you. I hope you enjoy today's episode, and hey, tell a friend about it. Hey there, welcome to the Compared to Who show. I'm Heather Creekmore, and I'm really glad that you're watching today. And hey there, listeners, I'm glad you are here. We are continuing our series, talking to registered dietitians about food issues. And guess what? You guys are loving this, which tells me that, like me, food issues are a big deal for you. So I am so glad you're here. Today, my guest is Brooke Fredrickson. Let me tell you just a little bit about Brooke. Brooke's a registered dietitian and Bible-believing Christian. She uses a non-diet, weight-neutral approach to help others heal their relationship with food and their bodies. She's co-host of the Eat with Grace podcast, and she runs a private practice in North Dakota. She loves to be outdoors, eat delicious food, and spend time with her husband and two kids. Brooke, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm delighted that you were able to be on. Would you tell us a little bit more of your story? Most of the people I talk to who are in this field have some sort of personal experience with eating disorder, food struggles, all those things. So will you tell us your story, Brooke?
Yeah. How much time do you want to give me on this? I was raised in a Christian home and had a very normal, I would say, relationship with food. Where everything started was when I was around age 11, noticed my mom dieting and going on diets with her friends or talking about diets. Like, it was never really front and center, but it was something that I definitely picked up on. And it kind of created a little frenzy in me, and it made me start questioning my own body and if I should start eating differently based on that. And so my mom was very tall and thin and beautiful, should not have been dieting in the first place. But anyway, yeah, that kind of started my whole struggle. I really just struggled with body image horribly throughout junior high and high school. I did a lot of over-exercising. I did a lot of restricting, which also resulted in some, you know, binging here and there too. I never had a full-blown eating disorder. I would say I'd never met that criteria. I never really lost weight doing what I did. Mm-hmm. But I really struggled. I went on that roller coaster of restricting, binging, kind of on again, off again with dieting. And then I was kind of obsessed with food tracking. I literally made scrapbooks out of fitness magazine articles. Huh. Yeah. With diet plans and exercise plans and stuff. So that's kind of where my mindset was in high school. And then I went into college. I started out pre-med. I went to a Christian school, and like you, I read in your book, I gained, you know, 15, 20 pounds that first year. Because I had a really unhealthy relationship with food in the beginning, going into college with just the freedom of everything and the new experiences and everything you're going through, plus the, you know, ever-ending buffet in the cafeteria. I seriously took full advantage of that with my food plan. So anyway, I gained a lot of weight that freshman year. The summer after that freshman year, I exercised it off. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided I wanted to go to school to be a dietitian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think I need to learn how to take care of this and how to control this, because I'm obviously not doing well with it. And so that was what I did, is I transferred schools and went and got my degree in dietetics. Unfortunately, the degree did not heal my relationship with food. In fact, I think it almost made it a little more complicated, just because you're taught to diet. You're taught to assign calorie levels to people and to really focus on body size and weight loss and stuff like that. And so it didn't help me. I continued to diet on and off going forward. And it wasn't until after I had kids that I kind of came to a, I don't know if it was a, like a come to Jesus moment or like a pivot in my career where I was like, what am I doing? And why am I doing this? And like, why does our body size matter so much? And I just, I don't know. There was so many things that I really, I felt convicted about. And so that's kind of where my journey with, you know, non-dieting, I call it my eat with grace approach or grace-based eating. That's kind of where that came from, is just my journey, like diving into the Bible and seeing like, what does the Bible say about our bodies? And what does the Bible say about health and nutrition and what we're supposed to be eating? And I just found out like, there really isn't a lot. And so, okay, Jesus, maybe I shouldn't be putting all my time and energy and value and worth into this physical body. And that kind of, went from there.
Oh, I love that so much, Brooke. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, so I think I'm a little older than you are, but in the 80s-ish on Saturday mornings, like during cartoons, there would be like this little infomercials, public service announcements. And one of them would always say, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And as you're talking about, you know, going to school, getting all the knowledge, I think the fascinating thing is knowledge in this arena isn't necessarily power, right? The wrong kind or the world's kind of knowledge, I guess I should say, because I talk to so many clients who are experts, right? Like I joked in a previous episode, they think they have their PhDs in dieting, and they probably do because they have acquired so much knowledge. I follow this doctor on Instagram. I read everything this doctor puts out. I've read all of this doctor's books, and they've got so much knowledge. But then what's tricky is like sometimes the knowledge contradicts itself, right? Like this study says you should, you know, only eat keto, and this study says you should, you know, make sure you have some carbs and like all of this stuff. But I know many of my listeners have like this popcorn explosion thing going on in their heads with all of this knowledge, but that's not where the freedom is. And so I love that your story shows like the freedom is really the knowledge we need isn't from following another doctor on Instagram. It's from God's word. I love that. So I want to go into grace-based eating, but before I do, there was something you posted recently and it caught my attention because there's a hashtag that I was using because other people that post stuff like me use it, and it's hashtag H-A-E-S. And some of you are going to be like, I have no idea what that means. So let me tell you, H-A-E-S stands for health at every size. And so on the surface, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. Okay. Now, those of us who struggle with body image are probably bristling a little bit, like, can't be every size, right? You know, like, oh, there's got to be some size where you're not healthy anymore. So does that even make sense? But you have questioned, like, more than just that, like, you've questioned that whole movement in general. And I'd like to go there for a minute, if you're willing. So tell me what we're missing about the health at every size movement and what we need to know.
So I honestly didn't know about the health at every size movement until I joined Instagram probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I found out that all of the other intuitive eating dietitians and accounts that I was following were also promoting what's called HAES. We call it HAES. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to find out what this is. And so I actually read the book first. There's a book called Health at Every Size. And I really do still recommend that book to a lot of people. I think the book is excellent. The content in it is very, I'll say, neutral from a worldview perspective.
Okay.
And it basically just explains the science behind it. It helps us to take our focus off of weights and numbers and scales and put it onto behaviors. And it actually encourages positive behavior change. So I think the book is great. Now, when you get into the HAES movement, there's actually an association behind it. It's called the Association for Size and Diversity, I think is what it's called. And when you go into that website and you become a member or you sign up to be a HAES practitioner and be listed in their data bank, they have a whole other list of things that you're signing on to represent. It really is a social justice movement. And they use a lot of very postmodern, very feminist, very what I would consider anti-Christian language. And so when I found this out, I was like, oh my gosh, there's no way that I can be putting Hayes next to my name or even using that hashtag. Like, I too was so convicted. I'm like, I don't want to direct people to this organization and to this group of people because it goes against everything that I stand for when it comes to, you know, like how my worldview is. And so I wrote a blog post on that and I was really hesitant to do it. Really felt like I needed to, and I needed to tell people who were my followers that I'm not part of that Hayes group, that yes, I believe in the science of it, but I cannot be part of that group or identify as that because of those reasons. And I did, I got a lot of really good feedback. Actually, I was expecting more people accusing me of things, but I just, I got a lot of good feedback from other Christians that were like, no, I agree. Thank you for posting that. So,
yeah. Well, so when I read that blog post, it made me think of why I've taken such a stand against body positivity. And probably this, you know, maybe a decade ago, I remember writing, it was probably at least 9 years ago, I wrote why I wasn't for body positivity. And I got some feedback, like how, the, like as a Christian, shouldn't we be the most positive people about our bodies? You know, like how can you be, are you for body negativity? Is that what you're for? And it was like, well, no, but you have to see what's under the surface here. And I mean, 10 years ago, things looked different than today, right? But what I saw in the body positivity movement was a push not towards this nicey nice, like we want to be accepting of all women who look all different ways. That was the surface that, you know, maybe the untrained eye might see, I guess you'd say. But underneath that, what I saw was basically this big truck paving the road for us to go to the place where I'd say we're at today, where if you're not comfortable in your body with your gender, you just change your gender. And, you know, and transgender is good because we're body positive. And so I saw that going in the wrong direction. And I cringe a little when Christians tell me that they're body positive, because it's like, yes, good, but that's not what that means. That's not what that means today, right? It's like being pro-choice, right? Like you can say I'm pro-choice and you can mean I'm for people making choices, but that's not what that means today, right? So we have to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, right? Like we have to understand the full meaning of these things. So I really appreciate you breaking that down. I don't know if I'll use that Hayes hashtag anymore. I may avoid that.
Lots of really good, I would say solid Christians out there that are still using it. I mean, I think a lot of them are probably using it again, like I was, just unknowing what this movement is and what it really stands for. And so I just hope we can continue to bring it to light. So
and there's so much grace, I believe, for our journeys, right? Like I look at what I wrote in Compared to Who, and there's one line in Compared to Who, and I had a dietitian tell me, I can't recommend your book because you say this one line. And the one line is, if you're going to start a diet, you know, wait and get your heart first before you start a diet. And they're like, I can't have anyone recommending a diet. And I was like, but I wrote that like 8 years ago. Like, I didn't know what I know now. Like, we're all on a journey. And I mean, even in terms of like the show, like I think about conversations I had 3 years ago and I'm like, I don't know if I'd approach the conversation the same way, because God is still working on my heart and he's showing me things through my experience and also just like what he's teaching me from wise people like you. So, you know, we're all on a journey. So totally grace for people that are still, you know, that are, we're all at different spots.
Are you tired of comparing yourself to others? It's time to break free, my friend. Check out comparedtowho.me online and you'll find a ton of great resources, blog posts, videos, and so much more to help you stop comparing and start living. And make sure you sign up for my exclusive email list while you're there. I send my email friends things I don't send anyone else. You can also find out more about my brand new book, The Burden of Better, How a Comparison-Free Life Leads to Joy, Peace, and Rest. If you're tired of battling comparison, friend, I wrote this book just for you. Check it out right after this episode, of course.
Grace-based eating. Sounds like grace-based eating would mean getting rid of some of my rules. What can you tell me about this grace-based eating approach?
Yeah. So the verse in the Bible that I actually base my Eat with Grace philosophy on is Hebrews 13:9. And it says that we should find our strength from God and not from rules about food. Now, this is specifically talking about, you know, Jewish food rules and stuff like that. But it really resonated with me because, again, like, I don't think our eating needs to be black and white. It's not a moral issue. It's not a sin issue. It's not a good or bad issue. And God gives us grace in every area of our life. And why can't we apply grace to our eating? You know, I often say that grace is the gray area between black and white when we think about food. And that is just allowing us to be imperfect. I know I consider myself a recovered perfectionist. I grew up with a very perfectionistic attitude that thankfully I no longer have. But I did. I had very black and white thinking around food. I assigned labels to food as far as good and bad. I would literally write down all the food I ate in a day. And at the end of the day in my food journal, I would write good or bad and I would
serve it.
I mean, that's how black and white I saw my eating.
Yeah.
But when you step back and when you look at the big picture, like the things that we eat and the amount of foods that we eat over the course of a lifetime, there are so many of them that even if you had 1,000 meals in there that were what people would consider horrible or less than ideal, is going to be nothing in the grand scheme of things, you know? And so I think our culture today, we focus too much on individual meals and individual foods and individual days of eating when we really need to be looking at big picture. And when you incorporate what you would consider, you know, junk food or play food or unhealthy food into that, you know, as long as it's not the majority, it's really not going to matter. It's not going to make a big difference in your health. It's not going to make a big difference in your weight. And so that's kind of how I apply all of that.
Woo. So that sounds hard. So how do we, I mean, because I feel like those of us that have come out of years of dieting or years of restricting, if we could take a big picture, we probably wouldn't be dieting, right? Because like all the big picture data shows us that if you diet, you're probably going to gain it right back again, right? Like that long-term dieting doesn't work, but it is so hard not to be focused on those instant results. It's so hard not to be focused on what did I do today? What can I control today? So maybe this is a really big question to answer in a short podcast, but is there a first step to taking a broader look at how we eat over a lifetime? Is there a way I can start that process? Something I can think about or do or remind myself of?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think first and foremost, I think we should always remove weight from our eating.
Okay.
And how do I mean that? Right. Yeah. So when I say that when I approach things from a weight neutral approach, I always focus on people's behaviors. So I want to know what they're eating, when they're eating, why they're eating. I want to know all those things. Weight is just an outcome of what we do. Weight is not like this independent thing that we have control over, right? Because there's all these different body processes and there's so many different aspects that affect our weight. And food is just one of those things. So I think if we can just put weight on the back burner, make sure that we're not making our decisions around food, you know, specific to weight, I think that can take a lot of pressure off people. Mm-hmm. First of all. Secondly, the other side of it, I mean, you know, looking at food over a lifetime, right, might be overwhelming. But again, if you could scale it down to like over the course of a week, if we're going to look at basic, you know, I would consider healthy behaviors, how many fruits and vegetables do I eat on any given week? You could even go down to the day, but kind of give like an estimate. Mm-hmm. Do I have adequate protein throughout the day? Am I eating some whole grains? Am I allowing room for pizza and ice cream on Friday nights? Like those are kind of the things that you look at. You can still have guidelines. I'm not saying we just throw everything out the window, do everything willy-nilly. We can still have guidelines. I am all about guidelines. We do want our food choices to be wise for the most part. And that's one thing intuitive eating calls this kind of grace-based eating. They call it for the most part eating. For the most part, we want to be making wise, healthy choices. But we want to allow for guilt-free times to also eat pleasure foods that aren't necessarily going to provide nutrients to us, or they're just going to taste really good in the moment mm-hmm. and make us enjoy the celebration or the time that we're eating them.
So I want to go back. I think you kind of said something a little bit, maybe mind-blowing to someone listening today. Separating my food choices from my weight. Woo! I mean, the number of times during a, you know, any kind of group interaction with women, the number of times even I hear, and people are a little bit more careful what they say around me, they know me very well, but the number of times I hear people say, oh, I'm not going to eat that. That'll make me gain weight. Oh, you know, that'll make me fat. Oh, I can't eat that. That'll show up on the scale tomorrow. Like the number of times I hear that, like, I think that's a way a lot of us were programmed to think about food. So any helpful tricks, tips in terms of stopping that thought train before it takes off? I mean, do I just force myself to eat the donut instead of saying, oh, this is going to show up on the scale tomorrow, just eat the donut? I mean, like, what, where's the healthy gray? That sounds funny, but I think that's where the health is, right? It's in that gray. What do I do?
Okay. When it comes to being focused on our weight, I think one, understanding that one meal or one food or one day of eating a certain way is not going to have any effect long term. Mm. Okay. So yes, that one donut is not going to make you gain weight. I think it all goes back to really understanding what our body's created for, the purpose of our bodies, knowing that, you know, we're not here to appear a certain way mm-hmm. or to fit into a certain body size or body shape. Like, God created us for more than that. And so I try to just get people's focus off of their bodies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just not worry about that. Okay. Now, when it comes to the food part of it, let's see, maybe if I put it in this way, if you think of food on a spectrum, mm-hmm. okay, let's think of food on a spectrum. So we have all of our, what we'd consider really healthy superfoods on this end, right? Like if we have berries and kale and salmon. Mm-hmm. And then on this end of the spectrum, we have our soda and our candy and maybe things that don't provide any nourishment, but they provide some, you know, they provide calories and they taste good. So this is where everyone kind of has to do a self-evaluation and just be like, you know, are most of the foods I eat coming from this half of the spectrum? Mm-hmm. Where does the donut fit on this one? Is it mm-hmm. down here? Is it in the middle? Is it up here? How hungry am I right now? Will this donut be satisfying to me? Like, is it something I really want? Or is it something that it's just there and I'm going to eat it? Mm-hmm. I think we can ask questions. Every time we eat food, we should be asking those questions. How hungry am I? Mm-hmm. What do I feel like right now? Does that fit into like an overall healthy eating plan? Like if I ate donuts for the last three meals, probably having donuts for this one would be too much. Maybe that's where we need to stop and reassess.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, if you eat a donut once a week or once a month, big deal,
right?
Big deal. We need to look at our overall eating pattern. Am I eating balanced diets most of the time, you know, the rest of the time? And it's all going to figure out and your weight's going to fall when you get to that point of normal eating mm-hmm. where you're not worrying about everything you put into your mouth. You're eating an overall balanced diet. You're allowing some of those pleasure foods in there. Your weight's going to fall where it falls.
Yeah.
And I don't think we need to worry about it. I just don't.
So do you believe that if we can start to trust our bodies and eat intuitively, when I'm hungry for the donut, I eat the donut instead of not eating the donut that I'm for 60 days and thinking about the donut every day for 60 days and then eating donuts for 60 days straight after that? Right. Like, yes. Are you kind of the mindset that like, if we can start to trust our bodies, we'll naturally eat more on that one side of the spectrum than the other?
I am all for trusting the God-given signals within our bodies. Yes. I worry on the term trust your body because I think there's lots of sinful things that can come out of it if you do that.
Right.
But yes, trusting that God created in our bodies in a way to tell us when to eat and to tell us when to stop. For thousands of years, human beings ate that way. Mm-hmm. They didn't base their eating on food labels or on calorie counts or on scales. Right. They ate when they were hungry. They stopped when they were food. They ate what were full. They ate what was available.
Yeah.
And I think if we can just get back to the basics of that and try to get rid of all this excess noise out there in the culture, I think we would all be just in such a better place. And that's where that peace, you know, or that freedom from food and eating is going to come from, because we don't have all of that external, you know, culture telling us everything we should and shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you encourage women to be, I want to say part of the solution, but I feel like that's too abrupt, but I feel like so many times we get dragged into the groupthink of ordering dessert is bad. So I'm at a luncheon with a group of women and everyone orders the salad, no dressing. Right. And you're the one that's like, oh, what do I do now? I'll have a hamburger. What? No, you can't break that. You know, like there's so many different ways that I think we hurt each other in this area. So can you give us some encouragement as to how we can break out of these cultural norms and start to go this healthier direction?
I think a lot of that just comes from, again, knowing who you are in Christ and putting your confidence in him and who he made you to be and trusting that the decisions you're making are honoring him. You're not here to people please. You're not here to impress everyone else or to do what's acceptable to everyone around you. And just know that God created me. I know what's good for my body. I know what I need right now. No one else needs to have a say in that. And so I think that's where we need to go with.
Preach. I love that. That was the perfect answer. I love it. Well, Brooke, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah. So I have a podcast. It's called the Eat with Grace podcast. And I'm a co-host with Jackie Nienhuis. She's a culinary medicine professor in Florida. We just talk about food and nutrition from a biblical perspective. We talk a lot about body image. We talk about intuitive eating and we talk about food, try to apply it to some kind of biblical principles in some way. Sometimes it, you know, food doesn't tie to the Bible in any way, and that's okay too. And so we make sure to put that out there. But yeah, we just talk about some of those countercultural topics that you are talking about as well.
Awesome. Well, it sounds great. And tell everyone where they can connect with you if they want to work with you. And are you taking new clients?
Yes, okay. I do. I take virtual clients at brookefredrickson.com is where you can find me. I am on social media very intermittently. So I don't look for me to post regularly. I have a love-hate relationship with that. And so I'm very sporadic, but yeah, brookefredrickson.com. You can learn all about my services. I offer group classes and individual counseling for people.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks so much, Brooke. I'll put the links to that in the show notes so everyone can connect with you. Hey, I appreciate you being on the show today. I appreciate your wisdom and thanks for helping us learn how to eat with grace.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for watching or listening today. I hope something in today's episode has helped you stop comparing and start living. Bye-bye. Hey, friend, would you check out the date on that episode you just listened to? Yeah, it's been a minute. Listening to old podcasts is almost like reading my diary from several years ago. In some cases, it's even a little embarrassing. So instead of listening straight through season by season, can I encourage you to skip ahead? I release brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And if you're not sure where to start, you can go to improvebodyimage.com, find the Start Here button, and I've got several episodes listed and categorized so you can find the topics that are of most interest to you. Your time is valuable, so skip straight to the good stuff. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for letting me be a part of your body image and food freedom journey.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.